Started a very much at Dalit Thomas Tufson, Ayn Tess, Reb El Chanan Manus.
Rishos the Choshev et Sibbo, Be'ez Hashem, I'd like to discuss today a few relevant shailas regarding Hilchas Ribbis. We all know that when a Yid lends a Yid money, he's not allowed to charge him interest, because this is a problem of ribbis. The shaila is, what is the halacha when one of the parties is a goy? Either the lender's a goy, or the borrower's a goy. So it says in the Torah, l'nochri sashech, that when you lend to a goy, you're allowed to charge ribbis. It says in Shulchan Aruch, that just like it's mutter to lend a goy, to borrow from a goy beribis, to lend a goy beribis, you're also allowed to borrow from a goy and pay him ribis. So therefore, you're allowed to go to a goyish bank and take out a loan and pay them interest. That's okay. Likewise, you're allowed to deposit money into your account, even though what you're doing is you're lending the goy ribis, but this is mutter, because it's a loan between you and a goy. Now the shaila is, what is in the following case? This time of year, many people are busy making the last minute bookings for their holidays. So let's say I'm looking to rent a cottage for a week. I do a bit of research, and I find a cottage for £800 for 1 week. That's a good fair price. But for me to lay out £800 in one go is rather difficult. So I phone up the booking agency, and I asked them, is it possible maybe to pay it in installments? I can manage £200 a month. And over the next 4 months, I'll pay the £800. So they say to me, I'm very sorry, it's now too close to the date that you want to book the holiday. You have to pay the whole £800 in full. Well, that's not much of an option for me. So I have an idea. I approach you, and I ask you, can I maybe pay with your credit card? You have a credit card. Maybe I can use your credit card and pay the £800. And don't worry, over the next 4 months, I'll pay back the loan. Each month, I'll make a payment of £200, and I'll pay up the loan. So you say to me, 1 second, if I'm going to take 4 months to pay up this loan, the credit card company is going to be charging interest. Each month, they're going to charge £25. Over 4 months, it's going to be £100. You say to me, you're very happy to give me the £800, but you're not willing to pay the £100 interest. So I say to you, of course, I'm going to pay that. Besides paying back the £800, I'll also be paying the £100 interest fee to the credit card company. It won't cost you a penny. So he's very happy to help out, and he gives me his card. Suddenly I realize, 1 second, I'm borrowing £800, and besides paying back the £800, I'm also going to be paying £100 interest fee to the credit card. But then I think to myself, perhaps it's mutter, because the credit card company is a goyish company. We've mentioned before, on a loan from a goy, there's no problem of interest, no problem of ribbis. So maybe it's mutter for me to go and do that. So let's go and see Voshtet and Aloch about this. There's a din in Shulchan Aruch that if I want to borrow from a goy, £10,000. Now, this goy doesn't know me. And there's no chance that he's going to be willing to lend me £10,000. He can't trust me. So I have an idea. I approach you, and I say to you, you know this goy. Please do me a favor. You go to the goy. Don't mention my name. And you ask him to please borrow from him £10,000. And you tell him that you understand there's going to be £1,000 interest over the next year, but you're happy to pay that interest. So you'll borrow £10,000, pay the interest of £1,000, and then you'll pass that money on to me. And I tell you, don't worry, you won't have to pay anything. I'll make all the payments to the goy, I'll pay him the £10,000 back, I'll pay him the £1,000 interest, it won't cost you a penny. So you're very happy to help out, and you go ahead. So what would you say about such a case?
Oh,
So that's the question, who's borrowing here? So one could say that I'm getting £10,000 and I'm paying back, besides the £10,000, an extra £1,000 to the guy as interest. But then again, we could say, one second, the guy hasn't got a problem with ribbis. And a loan from a guy, you're allowed to pay interest on. So maybe perhaps it's mutter. Well, if you look in Shulchan Aruch, it says clearly that such a case is absolutely asa. I'm not allowed to pay the guy this £1,000 ribbis. Now, why should that be? We said before that a loan from a guy hasn't got any restrictions of ribbis. So the Mefarshim explain that when you go to the guy and you plan to pass that money on to me, even though you're not planning to use that money at all, but you don't mention my name to the guy. As far as the guy is concerned, he only knows you. He's the one, you're the one who he's dealing with, and you are the one who accepts responsibility to pay back the loan. If when the guy wants to be paid back, you say to him, actually, that you've passed that money on to me, and therefore he should come to me, he'll say to you, it's irrelevant what you did with the money. He lent it to you, because you took responsibility, he only dealt with you, you are the one borrowing the money. So you are the borrower from the guy. When you now take that money that you borrowed, and you pass it on to me, and you let me use that money, in effect what's happening is, you're taking money which is yours, and you're giving it to me as a loan, which means that there's been now a second loan from a yid to a yid, from you to me. There's been two loans here. You borrowed the £10,000 from the guy, that was fine, it was a loan from a guy to a yid, and then you've passed on that loan to me in a second loan from you to me, which is from a yid to a yid. Now, a yid's allowed to lend a yid money, that's fine, it's a mitzvah. But the problem is, over here you said to me, besides paying back to you the £10,000, I also have to make a payment of £1,000 over and above what I've paid, what I received, and I have to pay that money to the guy. So it comes out, I received £10,000, and I have to pay back not only the £10,000, but the extra £1,000 on top of that. Well, that's a problem of ribbis. Now you might ask, you understand that you're lending me the money, and that I'm having to pay back more money than I received, but one second, the whole problem of ribbis is only that you mustn't receive interest for giving me money. If you lent me £10,000, you can't receive any money over and above what you gave me. But in this case, I'm not giving you the £1,000 interest, I'm paying it to the guy. So what's the problem of ribbis? You're just getting back your £10,000 and nothing more. I'm not paying the ribbis to the yid, I'm paying to the guy. Sorry? Correct, so I'm the loiver. I borrowed from you £10,000. I'm only paying you back £10,000. £1,000 I'm given to the guy. Excellent. Very good. So the answer is that this £1,000 interest fee is actually a debt that you have to the guy. And when I go and pay that £1,000 up to the guy, you are gaining from that, because now your loan, your fee to the guy has been paid up. So in effect, you've gained from the fact that I've paid that £1,000 to the guy, and therefore it's a problem of interest. So we see from here three points. Number one, if we want to decide when a lender lends out money, who is he lending to? The answer is he's lending to the person who he deals with, the person who he knows, and the person who accepts responsibility to repay the loan. So let's now go back to reassess our question about using your credit card. I come to you and I ask you, please, can I use your credit card to make a payment of £800 to book my holiday cottage? So we asked that I'm receiving £800, and besides paying back the £800, I'm also going to be paying up the £100 interest charge to the credit card company. So we asked, is that mutter? Is it asa? I'm receiving £800, and besides for that, I'm having to give extra £100 out. But that £100 we said I'm giving to a guy. I'm not giving to you. So now we've seen that we have to work out who is the credit card company actually lending to. Are they lending to you, you're the cardholder, or they're lending to me, I'm going to be using it. So we've just seen that who does a lender lend to? The person who he knows, the person who he deals with, and the person who took responsibility to repay the loan. Well, when you open a credit card account, there's an agreement between you and the credit card account company that whenever you present your card, they will lend money. Now, they only know you, and you took responsibility, you signed. So in effect, any time that card is presented, and they are asked to lend out money, they're lending it in fact to you. Not to me. When I present your credit card, the credit card company only knows about you, they're lending money to you, not to me. There's a havar taking place between you and the credit card company. They're lending you money. Now when you let me use your credit card, what you're saying is that the credit card company is going to lend you money, and you're allowing me to make use of that money for my purposes. So there's now a halvar, there's a loan taking place between you and me. When I use your credit card, in effect, you are lending me that £800. You borrowed it first from the guy, and you know, you're passing it on to me by letting me use it. When you say to me, besides paying back that £800, which you allow me to use, I also have to pay the £100 interest fee to the credit card company, that comes out, you're lending me a halvar from a year to a year, £800, and I'm having to pay back over and above the money that I received from you, the £800, I have to also pay £100 interest fee to the credit card company. Now, even though you're not receiving that money directly, it's going to the credit card company, like we said before, that is still a serious problem of rivers. Now, this doesn't mean to say that I can never use your credit card. As we've explained, the whole problem is that when I'm using your credit card, you're lending me money. And there's a halvar from you to me. So if I'm going to pay back more money than I'm receiving from you, that's a problem of ribas. However, we know that credit card companies only start charging interest if the loan's not paid back within a month. But if it's paid back within 30 days, they don't charge you anything extra. Therefore, if I go to Tesco and I've scanned through all my shopping, and it totals to £80. I put my hand in my pocket to take out my card, and hey, I've left my card at home. So I turn around to you, and I say to you, can I please borrow your credit card to pay for my shopping, and I'll bring you around the £80 cash this afternoon. So what's happening is, when I'm using your credit card for £80, the credit card company is lending you the £80, and you're allowing me to use that £80 to pay for my shopping. Right, so there's a halvar of £80 from you to me. Now that's fine. Because you're not asking me to pay back anything more than you're giving me. I'm not going to be paying back more than £80. Since I'm paying you back cash this afternoon, and you'll pay it straight away to your credit card, you won't be charged any interest, and therefore you're not asking me to pay any interest. So it's true that you're actually lending me £80 by letting me use your credit card, but there's no problem in doing that because I'm not being asked to pay anything more than the money that I've received from you. Be'ez Hashem later will see that even in the case when I'm actually going to pay back the interest that you've been charged, there's also ways how it's more to do api halacha. Now something here sounds a bit strange. We all know that the problem of ribis is that I mustn't lend you money and gain money by lending it to you. I mustn't charge you for using my money. But most poskim hold that if I ask you, can you please lend me £1,000 cash? And you say to me, yes, you're very happy to lend that to me. But you have it in the bank account, you'll have to go and take a taxi to withdraw that money. And the taxi is going to cost you £10. So you're happy to withdraw the money, but you're going to ask me to pay that £10 expense that you have to access the money. So most posts can hold that that's mutter. Why? Because that £10 is just money that you're paying. It's an expense you have to access the money to be able to lend it to me. That's not ribas. It's just making the money, it's an expense you have to make the money available to lend it to me. So if so, Why isn't that the same case over here? I ask you to please lend me £800 to pay for my holiday. You haven't got £800 available at hand. So what you do is, you ask the credit card company to lend you the £800 in order that you can pass that money on to me. The credit card company say to you, they're happy to give me the £800, but there'll be a £100 charge. And you want to lend that money to me, so therefore you're willing to undertake the £100 charge for them to give you the £800 for you to pass on to me. So why can't you pass that expense on to me? Very good. Excellent. Very, very right. So the answer is that if the expense is only an expense to make the money accessible, that's okay to pass that on. If it's a handling fee, that's okay to pass that expense on to me. But if the expense that you had was a charge for using the money, the reason why the credit card company is charging you is in order to have the right to make use of their money, that is a charge of ribis. And such a charge of ribis, you're not allowed to pass on to me, even though you only undertook that charge in order to be able to lend the money to me. They're charging you for the usage of the money, aren't they?
It's got no connection with the value of the money. It's just right. The way you charge.
Okay. Fine, but still to use their money, they're charging you that fee. So let's move now on to mortgages, and we'll see it's exactly the same principle. There's a younger man who's been renting for a few years, and he decides enough is enough, the time has come, he wants to buy a house. Now, he needs a mortgage of £200,000. There's no bank which is going to lend a younger man £200,000. His income is far too low for them to feel secure that he'll be able to keep up with their monthly repayments. So he has an idea. He approaches you, you might be his father-in-law, and he says to you, please do me a favor. You're already far more established. You please go to the bank and ask them to take out a mortgage for £200,000. You take that money and go and buy the house. And don't worry, you won't have to pay anything. I'll make all the repayments for the mortgage, and I'll make the repayments for the interest as well. It won't cost you a penny. But you'll be the one who'll be able to get the money to get the mortgage out of the bank. You please go ahead and do it for me. Don't mention anything to the bank about my name. You just do it in your name, and I'll have the house. So, is this mutter or not? So, what's happening? Oh, see. So, what's happening is that I'm borrowing £200,000. I'm getting £200,000, and I'm having to pay back not only the £200,000, I'm also having to pay back the interest, which is about another £200,000, to the bank. So, l'chore, I'm getting £200,000, I'm having to pay back extra money over and above that which I receive in interest fees. It is muta or asa. So, we've just seen that when we want to decide who is the bank lending to, then what defines that is the one they know, the one who they deal with, and the one who takes responsibility to pay the mortgage. Now, the bank only know you. You dealt with the bank, and you were the one who committed yourself to pay back that mortgage. So, in effect, the bank is lending you the money. They don't know anything about the younger man. They're lending you the money. When you take out that mortgage and you take responsibility, you are borrowing that £200,000. When you say to the younger man that you now let him use that money to buy for himself a house, you'll buy it for him, but you'll let him use that money and that house should become his. In effect, what you're saying to him is that money which you borrowed and it's become yours, you are letting him use for his own purposes to buy himself a house. You've now lent him money, that £200,000, by letting him use it to buy himself a house, you've lent him that money. There's a havar from you to him for £200,000. when you say to him, besides paying back the £200,000, you're also going to have to pay the interest charges to the bank, and it comes out, you're lending him £200,000, and you're telling him he has to pay more than he's received. That is a serious problem of riba. Even though he's paying to the bank and not to you, like we said, that's still a serious problem of riba. Now, there's something we have to clarify over here. In order for it to be considered that you're lending the younger man, it has to be the younger man received something from you. So if you let him use that money to buy himself a house and the house becomes his property under his ownership, then it's true to say that he's received something from you. You let him use your money to buy himself a house. But the way things go, it doesn't seem to be that's the case. Because when you take out the mortgage and you buy the house, it's registered under your name. Not under the younger man's name. It's under your name. If it's under your name, seemingly, the younger man has not actually acquired ownership of this house. And therefore, he's received nothing from you. What's happened is, you borrowed money from the bank, bought yourself a house, and it remains yours. When the younger man's going to now go and pay up all the payments to the mortgage and all the interest to the bank, he's not paying up a halva which he received. He's received nothing from you. You bought yourself a house, and he's gone ahead and paid up your loan. Nothing to do with him. There's been no loan taking place, seemingly, between you and him. And if so, where could there be a problem of ribas over here?
If under agreement was based in the letter between each other, saying that it's really the younger man's house, is that a problem?
Excellent. Very good. So as you're saying, that generally what people do is they make a verbal agreement or a written agreement between the person who's taken out the mortgage and the younger man, that although the house is registered under the name of the person taking out the mortgage, under yourself, but nevertheless, they're making an agreement that's actually been done on behalf of the younger man, and it should become the property of the younger man. And therefore, it comes out that the younger man is actually co-owner of the house, and therefore it comes out when you took the mortgage out from the bank and you bought that house for the younger man, you've in effect lent the younger man that £200,000. And therefore for him to pay back the interest to the bank would be a problem of riba. But we have to understand this. It's very nice that we have an agreement between us that it's mine, but what relevance does that have? It's registered under your name. If it's under your name, seemingly it's your house. I spoke to a few Dayanim here in Manchester and in London, and I saw that also Rabbi Reisman from America, who's a great expert in Hilchos Ribas, writes the same. And everyone says that both Al-Pi Din Torah and Lahavdil Al-Pi Goyshe Law, even something registered in your name, if you would stand up in court and agree that this property was actually bought on behalf of someone else and you want it to belong to someone else, it would belong to the person who you bought it for, even though it's registered in your name. And therefore, in effect, legally, this house actually has been transferred ownership to the younger man. It's not yours, it's the younger man who you bought it for, even though it's under your name. Therefore, it comes out that you've taken the mortgage out from the bank, you've borrowed the money, and when you bought that house for the younger man, you've lent him the £200,000, and when he's going to pay back the £200,000 plus the interest to the bank, what's happened is he's paying back more money than he received from you on loan. That's a problem of riba. Now things are looking a bit grim over here. We're saying you can't use someone else's credit card, you can't take out a mortgage to someone else. But don't worry, Be'ez Hashem, we're going to see there's various ways of doing this in the Eifin that's Mutar Piyadah.
If both names on the bank account, the bank's the bank both of the
that would be other problems of Orif, actually, we'll discuss another time. Yeah. So Be'ez Hashem will mention two eitzes there is to be able to do a mortgage al pi halacha that should be mutter. The first eitzah is what's known as using a heter iska. Most people have heard of a heter iska, but a lot of people aren't clear exactly what this is. Now, be'emes, it's not shaykh in 2 minutes to explain the workings of a heter iska. A few weeks ago, There was a shiur given here by Rabbi Eli Ozhach comprehensively explaining the Heter Iska. But for today it will suffice by saying that the idea of a Heter Iska is it's taking something which would have been a regular loan and have been subject to the Issa of Ribis and transforming it into a business investment which won't be limited by any Hilchus Ribis. It's transforming it that it's not going to be a regular loan. A loan is limited to Ribis. A business investment, when it's done under the terms of Heter Iska, has not got the problems of Ribis. So the place can say that before you give me your credit card to pay for my holiday, you should say to me that you're going to be borrowing the money from the bank and you'll let me use that money to pay for my holiday, the Heter Iska. It's preferable if you write it, but to say it's also sufficient, if necessary. Sorry?
What's the investment?
I'm happy to discuss it afterwards. Yeah, it's a shmooze in itself. Yeah. Now, the poskim say that it's important to have a basic understanding of what a Heter Iska is. If you want to use a Heter Iska, you have to have a basic understanding, because if you think that really it's a loan, a regular loan, that's just some hocus-pocus thing that you do and say, and that helps you to charge ribis, you've achieved nothing. There's no way you can charge ribis on a loan. The idea of a Heter Iska is that you're not lending the money, you're doing something different called an investment. It's important, therefore, to sit down with a person who's familiar with Hilchos Ribis before you use a Heter Iska to get a basic understanding of what you're doing to be able to use this Eitzah. Likewise, when it comes to a mortgage, before you take out the mortgage, you say to the younger man that you're going to take the mortgage out and you're allowing him to use that money to buy himself the house, the Heter Iska. And if you do that, it would be mutter afterwards for the younger man to make all the payments to the bank. He can pay up the £200,000 of the mortgage and all the £200,000 of the interest as well. The second Eitzah is put forward by Hagaon Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe comes with a whole different idea. As we said before, the whole problem over here is that when you buy the house for the younger man and it becomes the property of the younger man, then it comes out you've lent the younger man money by letting him use your money to buy himself a house. Says Rav Moshe, do you know what? Don't buy it for the younger man. Buy it for yourself. You take the mortgage out from the bank, buy it for yourself, it should be your house. But instead, make an agreement between you and the younger man that the house which you've bought for yourself, you're willing to sell to him. He explains that each month that the younger man is going to make a payment to the bank for the mortgage, you will sell him part of that house equivalent to the worth of his payment to the bank. So let's say the house, you took out a mortgage of £200,000 and the interest is going to be another £200,000 over the next 25 years. So all in all, it's going to be £400,000. So you say to the younger man, that you bought a house, you're willing to sell it to him for £400,000. But you're not going to sell it to him all in one go. It's going to be bit by bit. Each month, when he pays £1,000 to the bank, you'll be selling him £1,000 worth of the house. After he's paid £100,000 in payments to the bank, he's acquired a quarter of the house. After 25 years, when he's paid off the whole mortgage, he's in effect bought the whole house off you. The idea of this is that no loan has taken place between you and the younger man. You borrowed money from the mortgage. That's no problem. Now you're selling your house to the younger man. There's no loan taking place between you and him. And therefore, it's no problem of ribis. And it's important to mention that we've said here two eitzahs of what to do. Either to use a Heter Iska, or instead of you buying it for the younger man, buy it for yourself and sell it on to him. Each time before you want to use one of these Heterim, it's important to sit down with someone who's familiar with the Hilchos Ribis, because in each scenario, sometimes one Heter doesn't work. And therefore you have to tell the Rav exactly your specifications, what's going on, and he'll advise you whether you should use Heter Iska or whether you should rather use Rav Moshe Feinstein's Eitzah of buying it for yourself and selling it on to the younger man. Very good. That's why you can't use then the second eitzah for the interest only one. Right. Excellent.
When you sell it off, who's the contract with the mortgage? With the mortgage company, it's still with the original beschwer.
Right.
So does that not present? You're still therefore having the contract between the on the loan between the mortgage company and the.
That's correct.
You're
buying now off. You're buying now the house off him. It's true that he's got a loan from. He's got a loan from the guy. That's fine. He's allowed to have a loan with the guy. I'm not borrowing money from you. I'm just buying off you part of your house. The way I'm buying it off you is by paying up money that you owe. I don't owe. I'm paying off money that you owe, and you say if I pay off your loan, you'll sell me. Your house equivalent. There's no halvar taking place between me and you. Now, just to finish off, it's important to mention that regarding the issa of ribis, there's two stages when a person transgresses the issa of ribis. The first stage is bashas at the time of the loan, when the lender lends out the money with a condition that he's going to charge interest. And the second stage is when it comes the time of the repayment, there's an issa for the borrower to pay back, to pay up that interest, and it's an issa on the lender to receive that interest. And even if a person lent money with interest and didn't realize at the time of the loan that he was actually lending with interest, and at some time later during the loan he realizes that he is lent with interest, it's also for the borrower to actually go and pay back the interest, and it's also for the lender to receive that interest. Even though they didn't realize at the time of the loan, when they set out the charge, that this involved ribis. Now, if we've just discussed that to let someone else use your credit card, and for them to pay the interest, without using a heter iska, is a problem of ribis. And as well, for you to take out a mortgage and buy a house for a younger man, without heter iska, it's an issa for the younger man to now go and pay the interest. So what happens if someone's done this? If someone took out a mortgage on behalf of a younger man, it's 2 years now into the mortgage, and suddenly he realizes, hey, there's a problem for the younger man to make all the repayments to the bank. So it's going to come out that you were very helpful, you were very kind to help this younger man. He took out a loan of £200,000, with £200,000 on top of it of interest, and now you realize that the younger man can pay back the £200,000 of the mortgage because that's not paying interest. But the £200 of the interest that he can't pay, so he's only paid now for 2 years, there's still £180,000 interest left to pay. The younger man won't be able to pay it, it's going to be left on you, it's under your name, you're going to be left with paying £180,000. Gewalt. What's it going to be? It's already his.
It's already his.
Yes, he didn't use the heter iska and he didn't use the merchant's eitza, so he bought it for him. It's his already. So I spoke to Rav Heimlich, and Rav Heimlich said that in this case also it's possible to use a heter iska at this stage, even though initially there was taka alone from you to the younger man, right? when you borrowed the money from the bank. And you bought that house for the younger man. You've taka lent the younger man the £200,000, and that was taka wrong, it was be'issa. But at this stage now, you can go ahead and transform that loan and change it from being a regular loan and being subject to the issa of ribis and turn it into an investment which won't have the problem of ribis. Now, at this stage already, it's more complicated to do it. And again, you have to speak to someone who's very familiar with all the ins and outs of ribis to make sure that it's done right. But it can be done, and Rav Heimlich told me he's done it many times. From now, yes. So it's a complicated process to explain exactly how it's done. So we have to speak to a Rav to understand exactly the workings of it. But he can get out of the. I've had what he's done until now was a problem of ribis, but from now on, he'll be able to rectify it and be able to be allowed to pay all the future payments, and it won't be considered ribis. Sorry? That's also a possibility. It's possible that. So what we've seen from here is that in nearly every scenario, it's possible to do things but oif from which is mutter. But it's important to know each case, the pitfalls, what could be the problem, and the eitzes to do in order to make it mutter. If we know this, then it's possible to continue helping out other people, but at the same time to save ourselves from being over the issarivis.
What's with the credit card, the holiday company?
I just
can't. I just
answered the answer.